First of all, tell me about the Underground City, the book. How did you first come to be involved with this project?
Well, it was through Gavin McDougall at Lewath Press, the director of Lewath Press. He got in touch with me because he'd heard from somebody that there was this Byrne book set in Scotland, set in Aberfoyle, where he actually grew up, and it had been out of print for a very long time, and he thought it was a good time to have a new edition. And in fact, this year is the 100th anniversary of Byrne's death, so it was a very appropriate time to have a new publication. And I originally got involved to do an edited version of the old translation, but when I actually looked at the French version and looked at what did already exist in the out of print version, I realised that there was a lot of inconsistencies. A lot of bits had been taken out, especially bits that described Edinburgh and other parts of Scotland. And I suggested to him that we do a completely new translation.
And I think this took you into the Jules Verne Centre at Nantes, is that right? Where you looked at the original manuscripts?
That's right. They have a lot of the Verne manuscripts. They actually bought a few years ago most of the existing manuscripts. And I went and had a look on the microfilm and found some quite interesting stuff. I also looked at the correspondence between Verne and his editor, Pierre-Jules Hetzel.
What sort of relationship did they have? I gather it was quite stormy.
Very stormy. Hetzel had quite strong views about which direction the Underground City should take. And there's quite a few letters where it's very clear that he wants to impose his own view on the ending and the development of the Underground City itself. And it's clear from the final version that Verne succumbed to a certain extent to this. But I think you can still see the original ideas somewhere in the book.
What were the main divergences? I mean, what was the difference in the ending, in fact, that the editor suggested?
Well, one of the main features of the Underground City, obviously, is the city itself. And Verne originally envisaged a very large-scale underground city that was really like Edinburgh or Stirling, a very lively, bustling commercial city, which would have steamers on underground lochs and all this kind of thing. And Hetzel said, oh, that was far too fantastic. People would get uninterested. They would, they wouldn't get into the book. And he preferred to develop the characters further, to scale down the city so it was more like a small town, and to concentrate instead on a more conventional love story that is also part of Verne's story. But I think for Verne, it wasn't the most important element. I think Verne, as you can see in his other books, likes the whole scientific, slightly science fiction element.
Is the city meant to be underneath Edinburgh, then?
It's actually underneath the Trossachs.
Oh!
It's called New Aberfoyle. Well, it's New Aberfoyle, or Coal City is the actual town, but in New Aberfoyle is a kind of county or area that they
And
discover.
Is it a secret city, or is it known to the people who live above ground?
It is known to the people who live above ground. It's, the idea of the underground city is that in the book, this disused coal mine would actually to have a whole immense, vast amount of coal, and the miners and the director of the newly discovered mine, the coal field, established this underground community because they've discovered this beautiful, huge cave that is just so perfect for living in, and they don't need the above ground anymore. So,
but is it meant to have a sky? I mean, is it very dark? What do they do for light?
They have electricity.
Well, and when was this written, actually?
This was written in 1877.
When was electricity first introduced? It would be around...
Yes, I think
the very first, surely.
I think in some minds it already started to use electricity, and Verne picked up on this idea and obviously with some literary license, he sort of expanded this to have a sort of almost a sky lit up with electric stars, and
amazing.
When it was night, they just had to flick a switch. And
it's night time now.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and did Jules Verne himself know Scotland?
Yes, he visited Scotland at least once in 1859, I think it was. He did a tour which is actually reproduced by one of the characters almost identically.
Oh, how interesting.
In the route, yes. So, and there's actually a non-fiction account of this journey, a sort of travel log that Verne wrote, but again, his editor didn't think that was interesting enough to be published at the time, so it's only much later that's been available. But he's actually got two Scottish novels, and both of them are very heavily influenced by what he actually saw himself.
When you mention his editor, I wonder, was this really his publisher that you mean? Who? I mean, I'm wondering if the publisher was also the editor.
Yes, probably. a bit of both, really. I mean, Hetzel was very involved in the text of the book themselves, advising, editing.
But was he the owner of
and
the firm?
And he was also the owner of the firm, yes.
Yes, I wondered.
But both, yes. So he was also interested in the marketing side of things, like a lot of publishers. And in fact, the eventual title of The Underground City, which in French is Les Indes Noirs, literally the Black Indies, it was actually Hetzel who decided that it should be a rather shortened version so that it would be big enough on the posters to catch the attention of people wanting to buy the book.
Ah, yes. And what's your sense of what sort of person Jules Verne was like? Do you feel that you've got in doing this, that you've crystallised an impression of what the man was like?
I think to a certain extent. I think he was definitely somebody who loved details. That's something that, when translating the book, it was a great pleasure and also a lot of work, is to really discover where all these ideas came from, because they're all based on, or most of them have very clear scientific facts behind them. So when he describes the equipment of a mine, it's not just something he's invented, it's something he's investigated. He's investigated to find out what these machines were called, and described in great detail about how they worked. So he was somebody who loved detail. And he also had a great sense of humour, which I think sometimes people don't really think of Verne as having humour. But I think certainly I find in the characters there's quite a lot of sort of... he has one of the characters, Simon Ford, who lives underground, is very, very enthusiastic, almost too enthusiastic about how wonderful this coal mine is. And you can sense Verne's sense of humour there, also with the kind of Edinburgh worthies. Who featured this James Starr, one of the main characters, and also one of his associates, who's known just as Sir W. Elphiston throughout the book. And they have there's quite a comical element to them, I think.
Yes, I used to read a lot of Jules Verne when I was a kid, actually. I really did like his books. But it is very interesting to hear about the differences between the published and the original version. And so you went back to the original version and translated from that. Is that what has happened?
Well, I went back to the published French version. So the translation I produced is taken from the Hetzel version, as it were.
Oh, I see.
The one that came out. The manuscript version is different. But you can't really say that is the original, because it's one of several versions. In fact, the book was rewritten about four times, according to one of the letters. So this is a kind of intermediate version in the manuscript. So you can see what direction the book might have gone in, and it gives a lot of insight into the sort of process of how Verne worked in conjunction with his editor.
And I gather that as a sort of development or spin-off of this book project, that you're writing up a paper in collaboration with someone else. Could you tell me a little bit about what that will discuss?
Well, yes, I'm working in collaboration with William Butcher, who has translated quite a few of Jules Verne's novels, Around the World in 80 Days, Journey to the Centre of the Earth, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. He's a very well-known Verne scholar, and I'm going to be writing about the manuscript itself in Nantes, looking at the parts that were cut out, what they reveal about Verne, especially not only what they reveal about his intentions about the book, but also about what they show he knew about Scotland, and the kind of detail that until now we didn't know that Verne was aware of, some of his observations that were clearly made when he came to visit Scotland itself. So,
did he like Scotland?
He loved Scotland, yes. He was very fond of Scotland. He claimed ancestry on his mother's side from Scotland, and in quite a lot of his writings he makes it very clear he admired Scotland. He admired Sir Walter Scott very much as a writer and often quotes him in his books. And there are also an enormous amount of Scottish characters in all of his books.
I'm sure I've seen a Jules Verne cover with someone with a kilt on it. I can't remember now where I saw that. Maybe I'm imagining things. Anyway, I look forward to hearing more about this. And obviously, there's your article on the Textualities website. So, thanks very much.
Thank you.